I'm not sure I picked a good Sunday to come back, because the lectionary text, which Katie read this morning from Luke, is one of those passages that, if we're very honest with ourselves, we don't really like, because we don't understand or even recognize often the Jesus that shows up in this passage, being told that the dead can bury the dead, and those who continue to look back are of no use for the kingdom of God. It's a text that many of us rebel against. We just don't like it. Now let's just skip on to the next section. But it's easy to do that, isn't it? Just to skip over to the next section. And if there's something I've learned in the last few months, it's that life is short, and maybe you shouldn't skip sections. Because it's really easy for us to say, well, I'll start the diet tomorrow. I'll start going to the gym next week. We make all sorts of excuses in our behavior. And we build up walls around ourselves, and those walls defend that behavior. And so we get mad at Jesus in this passage. I mean, let's be honest, we don't like the Jesus who shows up this morning. We don't like him because we think he is being insensitive to the needs of others. Surely we can bury our loved ones. Surely we can say goodbye to the people that we love. And when Jesus responds in the negative, we get confused. What's up with Jesus, we might ask. And I suppose we need to put the passage in context, and it's right there in the opening sentence. As the time approached for Jesus to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Jesus is going to Jerusalem, and he will die there. Jesus knows this. The disciples haven't been brought into the secret yet. They haven't figured it out. But we're privy to that information. We've read the rest of the gospel story. Jesus is going to go, and he's going to die. A painful, public, humiliating death. And it's coming fast. So when Jesus says no, you don't have that time, or that the dead will bury their own, or don't look back, it's because by the time that individual catches up to Jesus, Jesus is already going to be dead. The passage has a sense of immediacy about it because Jesus is going to die. And he will die for you, and he will die for me, for us. Jesus isn't saying, if you follow me, you will become homeless. He isn't saying, disrespect your families or your loved ones. Jesus isn't saying you can never have contact with your family again. His life indicates otherwise. What Jesus is saying is, decide what you want to do, because life is short and time is coming. Professor Caroline Lewis writes, there are way more but firsts. But first, let me say goodbye to my family. There are way more but firsts than we are willing to admit. We rationalize these but firsts as strategic best practices, following protocol. We justify them as necessary decisions, balancing budgets or keeping denominational order. Let's think about some of those. Let's go serve the poor in our community, but first, let's make sure the kitchen is up to code. Let's collect clothing for the homeless in winter, but first, let's make sure that we have a room to put all that clothing in. Let's be a community of faith that welcomes new people, but first, let's throw a potluck for ourselves. Let's take care of the planet that God created, called good, and asked us to watch over. But first, let's buy a case of water. Let's love all God's people. But first, let's spend the better part of a decade debating and arguing about the place of LGBTQI people in the church. I could go on all day. But first, what are our but firsts? What do we make excuses about? What do we prioritize over following Jesus? And whatever the answer is, it speaks volumes about our values. Scott Jose recounts a sermon he heard by Barbara Brown Taylor. She once said that if a man in the church loses his job, the minister may well call this person to offer sympathy and prayer. But suppose that a minister one day got wind of the fact that a certain member of the congregation had gotten a big promotion at work, along with a significant pay raise. And suppose the minister then called this person and said, "Charlie, I've heard your news and was so wondering if you would be okay if I came by sometime to pray with you about this. I'm concerned about the temptations this new position may throw your way, as well as what it may do to your ability to serve the church. So I'd like to pray for God's strength for you in the face of this new success." Probably we'd be taken aback. You'd probably tell me to take a hike. I'll be all right, Neil. But as Brown Taylor notes, that is only because we cordon off parts of our lives from the total claim that Jesus makes on us. We act as though we are our own, so why should the church have anything to say to us so long as life is chugging along smoothly? And if we ask that, we reveal that we too quietly resist the same self-denying sacrifice that seems so offensive to some outside of the church. It looks as though the only way you will ever see this self-denial as a source of comfort is if you die and are reborn. You need to kill off the ordinary ways of defining value and bring to life a whole new set of values. And the place is to start is by admitting that without God we are lost to sin, lost in the wilderness, and unable to find our own way out. And once you know that, you are wide open to the call of the one who hopefully says, "Follow me." So how do we stop saying, "But first"? I don't know. It's hard. And this isn't just a sermon for you. It's also one that I wrote for me. It's a word that I need to hear. Because I know that in my own life, I throw up all sorts of roadblocks and obstacles. I have my own but firsts. And so perhaps it's helpful for us to focus on the words of the psalmist that we heard this morning. Listen to the prayer that that psalm has for us today. "Therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." Friends, God is good, and we need to trust that, believe in that. We need to follow the path of life, which has been made clear and revealed to us in the person of Jesus Christ. So let's trust in that path of life, and let's get on with the work of making God's good creation a place where all people and all creatures can thrive. Amen.